As Sagar just pointed out, Italian-Jewish cuisine is inextricably linked to Italian cuisine, as the two developed alongside and influenced each other. Jews have been living in Italy for over 2,000 years, and Rome in particular is home to the oldest continuous Jewish community in the Western world. Silvia Nakamuli is an Italian Jew with roots in the Roman community. Her book, Jewish Flavors of Italy, is a love song to her community and a document of how her particular family cooks. Hi, Silvia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much. Such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Italian Jews aren't Ashkenazi or Sephardi or Mizrahi, meaning they're not from Eastern Europe or the Spanish expulsion and are not considered Middle Eastern Jews. Is there a name that describes the community?
That's right. So the community, it's called the Italkim, really, because they originally came, as you mentioned at the beginning, over 2,000 years. Therefore, was really before the split into Ashkenazi and Sephardi. And some say that the minhag, the way of the liturgy in synagogues, is as close as the one from the Beit HaMikdash, from the temple in Jerusalem, as it is. And then, therefore, they kept the own right, and is called Italkim, especially the community in Rome. Then the Jews from other parts of Italy, in the south, they had more of a Sephardi Spanish kind of influence throughout the centuries. And in the north, it was a mixture of both Sephardi, came from Spain and Portugal, and Ashkenazi coming from the north of Italy. So it's a bit of a melting pot, but I am from Rome, and as Rome goes, we are definitely Italkim.
Does anyone know how the Jews in Rome came to be in Italy, where they came from?
Well, yes, the first settlement seems to be the one in Rome, but also in the south, in Sicily and Puglia. They were very early settlement. They came already in 200 BC, but the largest number came from straight from Jerusalem after the destruction of the Second Temple, where the Roman brought them back to Rome as slaves. And since then, there's been a continuous Jewish community, which is the oldest in Western Europe.
How many generations does your family go back in Rome?
That's a very good question. So in Rome itself, perhaps from the time, sometimes during the time of the ghetto, we could trace back, my mom said, about something between 13 to 16 generations. A lot of last names in Italian Jews, and not only, I think it's quite a common denominator with other Jews, they take the name of towns. So my mother's last name, maiden name, is Della Riccia. Riccia is a small town outside of Rome, and probably Jews arrived and settled there when they moved after the Inquisition in 1492. And then at the time of the creation of the ghetto, which in Rome was in 1555, then the Jews in the small towns outside, they were gathered and brought in wide, in larger cities. So in that case would be Rome. And that's when they actually acquired their last name. So you have Della Riccia, Di Nepi, Di Castro, Di Nola. They're all names of small little towns. And from my father's side, my last name is Nakamuli, which actually comes from the Hebrew Nacham, Nakamuli. And they've been in Venice for probably 250 years or something like that.
You know, as an American Jew who comes from Belarus and the Ukraine just two generations ago, to hear that kind of family tree is just extraordinary. I love how you describe Italian Jewish cuisine as a story of migration, creativity, and necessity. You say it's a gastronomic osmosis of Italian cuisine and local produce. How important has kashrut or kosher laws been in the development of the cuisine of Italian Jews? And how do you see that still living in modern Italian cuisine?
Yeah, well, it's a paramount importance. It's really the core and what made it survive for so long, and also what really we believe in. So the Jews in Italy, there is just one type of community, which is the Orthodox community. It's still Orthodox in an Italian way. We are quite liberal, but it's still an Orthodox community. So the kosher rules, they really have been applied throughout the centuries without ever a break. And they very much shaped the local cuisine, because the fact that Jews have been living there for 2,000 years, it means that they're really what they eat, it's Italian cooking, because they grew with and helped create Italian cooking as such, but always made sure to keep the kosher rules. So they were somehow inspired by the local cuisine, and they changed certain dishes in order to conform to kosher rules. And in the process, they created new and original recipes. You know, like Italian cooking, for example, has cold cuts of meat, which are mostly made of pork. But the Italian thought it was a great idea, and they used whichever animal they had locally, and they could make kosher. So in Rome, we have a lot of cold cuts of beef. In the north, they used to have a lot of cold cuts of goose. And then they changed some Italian dishes and made them kosher. So, for example, a bolognese sauce, which classically it would have some pork inside, you would do it without. Or, of course, the mixing of meat and milk. And it still very much applies. Now, of course, then there is also very much of a globalization of cooking. So it's harder to see the origin of specific dishes. But throughout the centuries, the Jews had traditions of eating, for example, food at room temperature, so it would be suitable for Shabbat, or the combination of pine nuts and raisins, or sweet and sour flavors, because again, they preserve food for longer. So you see it in either specific recipes or generally as a way of cooking.
You say that the cradle of Italian Jewish cuisine sits in the south of Italy through a rich Yes. Jewish history that lasted over 1,500 years. What caused it to be swept away?
Unfortunately, this in the beginning of the Spanish Inquisition in 1492. So at the time of the when the Spanish Inquisition started, the south of Italy, in particular Sicily and Calabria and Puglia, and then also Sardinia and Naples, but slightly at a later stage, they were part of the Spanish Empire. So when the law of the Inquisitions and started, then the Jews in the south of Italy, because of course we have to think, we say Italy, but really Italy, as we know it today, it's really a relatively kind of a new concept. It's about 150 years old. Before it was a conglomeration of independent states. They were either papal state, or before that, in that case, was the Spanish Empire, actually. So it was not Italy as such. So Jews there, they were forced to either convert or escape, really. And the ones that refused to convert, they would die on the stake. And the persecution of the Jews continued throughout the centuries afterwards, both in the south of Italy and, of course, Spain and then Portugal and so on. But the Jews, they brought with them their own cooking traditions and their own ingredients, and they introduced them to the center and the north of Italy, which was a lovely gift for us.
So we're coming up to the High Holidays, a period that starts with welcoming the new year, Rosh Hashanah, and ends with the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Start us off with a couple of ideas for Rosh Hashanah. Are there any pre-meal rituals your family observes?
Yes, that's a great question. So, the Jews in Rome, we do a Seder. It's really literally called the Seder di Rosh Hashanah, which is thankfully shorter than the one of Pesach, Passover, but it's a really lovely one, and it's really all about the different food. The interesting thing, it's really the choice of the different foods in there. There are 9 of them altogether. They are figs, there is fennel, there's leek, pumpkin, date, a type of chard, is called bieta in Italian, a fish, pomegranate, and then the interesting is the lamb's brain, the brain of the lamb, and which we in Italy they do sell and we do eat. And then all these elements, they're cooked. Everyone can kind of make them the way they want. In my family, we make frittatas with the chard and frittata with the palm, and then we fry the pumpkin and frittata with the leeks. The fish, we make it with peanuts and raisins, which is also another traditional dish. And then there is like a beracha, a blessing on each of the food. Some are positive berachot, like may we multiplicate. And some others are kind of may those that hate us stop. And it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Can you describe the zucca barucca disfatta?
Yes, so the zucca barucca disfatta, it's a traditional food that comes also both for Rosh Hashanah, but it's often eaten for Sukkot just after, and also to break the fast of Yom Kippur. It originally comes from Veneto, and the name the barucca is really from the type of pumpkin that is used, which was all kind of bumpy and warty a little bit. Then some say that the fact that has also the name Baruch in it, and Italians, we like to put vowels at the end of every word. So the Barucca, it kind of became an Italianization of the word Baruch as well.
Which means blessed.
That's right. That's right. It's blessed pumpkin mash, really. It's mash because you boil it and then you crush it. It's a very, very simple dish, but it's really full of flavor.
And your family goes all out for the meal after Yom Kippur. You have this this meatball recipe called ingotsamodi. Can you describe that?
Yes, so the recipe of the ingotsamodi in my book, it's from Micaela Pavoncello. But the unique part is really the making the shape. They're a little bit oblong, and they're really usually made with chicken. And the ingotsamodi is really a Roman Jewish slang. Etzem in Hebrew means bones. Ngotza modi is really a kind of deformation of the word etzen gotza, because the bones were crushed and mixed together with the meat in order to feed more people and give more taste to the meat. So the bones both give more taste, but also you have to remember that the living condition in the ghettos, in particular the one in Rome and then the one in Venice, they were particularly poor. So Jews had to be very creative on how to make more food and what is called stretched, really, la carne allungata. So the creativity in the kitchen has always been very, very important to it.
Thank you so much, Silvia, for coming to talk to us.
My pleasure.
That was Silvia Nakamuli. Her book, Jewish Flavors of Italy, is a culinary documentary for family and the larger community of Italian Jewry. It's one of the most in-depth looks at Italian Jewry from a historical as well as culinary view I've seen. We've got a recipe for zucca barucca di sfatta on our website. You know the link, kcrw.com/goodfood. Our culinary tour of Italy continues in 1 minute. Stay with us.